Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Pleased to be here today. Give you a very brief overview of some of the activities that we have going on in the State Board in Sacramento that I think are of statewide significance you might be interested in. We recently held workshops on TMDL guidance document that the staff of the State Board released and has been out for public comment and review for some period. It was scheduled for adoption at our next board meeting, but based on the discussions and comments that occurred, we may pull that off and give it some more consideration before moving it to adoption. Principal issues involved here are from the regulated community's point of view. Their comments indicated they would like to see the guidance document be more specific and give more guidance to regional boards to assist them in their implementation of TMDL. Policies in the hope that that would lead to more statewide consistency. On the other side of the issue, the environmental community had comments that reflected their concern that the guidance policy relies in part on voluntary programs that dischargers can undertake to implement TMDLs, and they have concerns about the effectiveness there. Also an issue with looking at the listing of constituents for impaired water bodies in the TMDL process. The guidance allows for, at the discretion of the regional boards, to review the appropriateness of a listing if there is any obvious evidence available to them that perhaps it's not an appropriate listing. They could relook at that before going on and launching a TMDL. And there's some concern that this flexibility provided to the regional boards would open up the listing process to an inappropriate review of listings. And so those are issues that we're looking at and we'll consider further probably before we move to adoption. Second issue is the renewal of the industrial stormwater permit. Again, we've held two workshops, two public hearing workshops on that, one in the south and one in the north. This draft renewal of the permit has a new aspect to it, and that is that it includes some numeric limits in it based on benchmark performance from the US EPA guidelines, benchmarks that US EPA has developed on what level of effluent quality should one expect to be able to achieve from using the identified and demonstrated best management practices. And this permit's proposing to include those limits in the industrial permit and use them as a trigger for requiring a review and improvement of BMPs if these benchmarks aren't being met. The discharging community is somewhat split on this. Smaller businesses are particularly concerned about the implications to them of getting into an iterative process of improving BMPs and reporting on BMPs based on these numeric values when they're not certain that they are the appropriate values. The environmental community has for some time now been pushing to have numeric effluent limits in permits, and I guess they're within that community, there are some that feel this is a good step to in the right direction to have benchmark. There are others who feel that we should be going to end-of-pipe type limits. So those issues are still being discussed. Also, the role of groups, industrial stormwater permit, does allow and encourage small businesses to be able to combine in groups and have a group administrator who will be responsible for large numbers of industries together, and there's some question about whether that has been effective in the past and should be continued. The third item is on the state implementation plan. This is the state policy, statewide policy to implement the California Toxics Rule in waste discharge permits. State board staff had proposed some revisions really in two principal areas, one to do with water effects ratios. That's a technical approach that allows adjustment of effluent limits based on specific receiving water qualities. And historically, those water effects ratios have been adopted by regional boards as part of basin plans. They've gone through a rather extensive process, and the new changes to the SIP are suggesting that this could be done on a permit-specific basis, and that creates some controversy. And the second issue is the reasonable potential analysis that goes into NPDES permits, and the changes to the SIP are suggesting that if a discharger samples his effluent and it does not contain, they find no positive findings of any constituent for which the receiving water is impaired or standards are being exceeded, then the discharger doesn't need to have an effluent limit for that, and that's raised some controversy, which we're looking at also. Those are the programs, major water quality issues that we're working at. I know in your discussion there on your consent agenda of septic tank issues, you had a question.
Where's the state board in its review? There was an assembly bill.
Yes.
That created a directive for the state board to review appropriate on-site disposal system regulations.
Right. It was a requirement to prepare statewide guidelines.
Okay.
And therein lies the difficulty that we've had. The staff has been working on this for over, I think, 2 years now, and I think the deadline for producing these statewide guidelines has passed by a year or so. But I think the release of those as draft guidelines are imminent now. A little bit on the history of that, because of the requirement to do this on a statewide basis, we've been through several iterations of developing these guidelines. The initial approach, with a lot of involvement from the regional boards and the county health agencies, which are the two principal entities responsible for implementing these. And the initial approach was to attempt to come up with some prescriptive standards, in other words, depth of groundwater, soil type, and these traditional parameters that are used to site and permit septic tank systems. Because of the variability statewide, we ran into, the staff ran into a number of difficulties with this prescriptive approach. And they somewhat switched over wholesale to a performance-based approach that says, well, you can build any kind of septic system anywhere you want without regard to prescriptive standards, but you have to monitor. You have to have soil monitoring systems. You have to have shallow groundwater. So it was very, very heavily oriented towards monitoring, but it said you have to meet certain standards for nitrate, certain standards for bacterial contamination, and you have to monitor to demonstrate that you're doing that. So that was the next iteration. That was not well received either because, quite frankly, even myself personally believe that there are many, many areas and locales throughout this state where standards can be applied, where the conditions are such that you shouldn't have to monitor. We have adequate soil depths. We have adequate filtration. They're on community supply systems. And to put these types of systems under the burden of monitoring seemed excessive. So now the third phase that we're in is a combination of those two approaches. There will be some prescriptive standards that are set out that says if you meet these standards, you can go forward and be permitted for a standard septic system without the requirement for monitoring. Then if you're into a specially designed system or you exceed certain density criteria or you have on-site wells for supply, then you fall into another category which requires certain monitoring requirements to demonstrate that there are no adverse water quality effects. So that's kind of what's in those guidelines now. And like I say, I think they're going to be released soon, be put out for public comment. And at that time, the CEQA process will begin on this, which we expect to take a year. So it's going to be another year from when these are released for comment before we have them ready for consideration for adoption of the State Board.
Will that effort include any requirement for maintenance and testing of older systems?
No, your staff person who gave you the comment on that, I think, was pretty much on. These guidelines will deal with any old systems that have failed and are determined to be in need of replacement. And then replacement systems will have to meet the new guidelines. But the current approach of the guidelines is that existing systems will not be existing systems that are performing adequately will not have to be retrofitted in any way to come into compliance with these guidelines.
And when you use the term guidelines, to me that indicates it's not mandatory, but they be considered.
I guess I call them guidelines because of the they're not, they're regulations.
Okay.
But they have a lot of flexibility in them necessarily because of the variable conditions on a statewide basis. So there are a lot of decision points within the regulations that direct where the design and monitoring and regulatory requirements should go depending upon localized conditions.
Mm. And so this is a also replacing the waiver that the regions had kind of blanketly issued to counties.
Well, each region in their basin plans has set out how they choose to deal with the regional board's regulatory responsibility for septic tanks, and then I believe in most cases it is that a waiver, if generally it's a waiver of WDRs if county requirements are met, and these will basically form the direction to the county of what those requirements should be.
And these will come up for review every 5 years. To the regions?
I don't think these regulations themselves need to be reviewed, but to the extent that a region incorporates them as part of a waiver program, then they would be subject to
review. And I didn't mean the regulations, but I meant was the waivers that we would issue.
Yes.
Should come up just like all the other waivers that have now fallen under the new requirements.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Any board questions?
These guidelines you're talking about, guideline regulations, do they include anything about the monitoring, reporting, inspection? Is this just about the construction and installation of these systems and nothing about the...
No, they include requirements. So basically, what the regulations, I believe, are going to say when they're finalized is that if you... have a standard system. It meets all the prescriptive standards, so it's considered, you know, from a very, very low threat to water quality. There are no monitoring requirements. That's just expected to work based on experience. If you have any kind of a specially designed system, and you can start out from the simplest kind to very complex things where there are treatment systems within the septic tank chamber and that type of thing. And then there are various levels of monitoring and reporting required depending upon the complexity of design of the special system.
I see. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to mention that this is an interesting case study as far as how legislation comes about, because I think I've got the right case here, that this actually started with Assemblywoman Hannah Beth Jackson's concern with one community in particular, which was Rincon in the southern extreme of our region. And then it was expanded to another coastal community. I think Malibu was cited. And then other legislators said, well, you know, it should be the whole coast. And then other legislators said it should be the whole state. So we ended up with statewide coverage, starting with Rincon region.
Right. And that's been the difficulty in developing these regulations, to fit all of those needs, the one-size-fits-all approach on a statewide basis. The original concern for the legislation was coastal areas where there was concern over bacterial contamination of nearshore waters, and 303D listed streams, and that was the original impetus. So we've got to have, you know, really a whole tailored section in those regulations that deals with those issues. But then when the legislation was expanded to be statewide, then we're dealing with, septic systems on 40-acre parcels and foothill regions where soil depths are great and groundwater is deep and all these things. So it's been complex to come up with a set of regulations that appropriately addresses all those variable conditions.
Bruce.
Relative to the video we just saw, I know that some of the regional boards like the LA has done trash TMDLs, and the state board has said reviews of those, but is there any plans to do any kind of statewide policy or regulations for, you know, this kind of trash activity?
I don't think so for trash per se. There is an effort that's currently underway, and we have staff and committee groups and stakeholder input working on seeing if we can develop what we call a statewide stormwater policy to provide some more general guidance statewide on implementation of stormwater programs, but not specific to trash, but it would apply to that.
Bruce, they're going to let us do that.
I'm glad to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right. That's why we have the regions. You guys are best equipped to deal with these issues on a local basis.
Right. Any other questions of Mr. Carlton? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Back to video.
Back to the video. Does anyone have any comments or reactions that they'd like to share?